here.
Sadly, is Lezecher Nishmas Miriam Dodi Bas Yehuda Leib, who was just Nifteres, and Ilui, the Divrei Torah should be the Ilui Nishmasa. Very sorry to hear the sad news. Okay, so we're going to begin our Hagdama. Apparently, Rabbi Well has discovered that some of the Mar Makomos are the same or close to the same as, you know, the last time we were getting, which was what year?
5769.
Yeah, so, you know, I think Zev's response is correct. The Torah Shabbat and the Torah Shabbat haven't changed so much. So probably the salient Makoros are still the salient Makoros. So, but, you know, we'll do what we can. Every time you look at something, you see it the same, you see it differently, or somewhere in between. But either way, Masechet. Oh, do we have an extra Gemara? That would help me. Did you bring a Rambam?
Is
he trying to play gotcha with me and didn't bring a Rambam?
It hasn't been used in the last 5 years. So
yeah, that's it. Okay. But anyway, so it's Masechet Gittin is a very rich Masechta. And of course, it touches on many Shas topics. But Gittin in its own right, of course, is a pivotal theme. You know, it's a sad parsha in most cases. We'll discuss the concept of get me'ava, according to some mefarshim. But I mean, obviously, the typical get takes place in a very unhappy environment. You know, where I was at a wedding today, and I was just at a wedding recently. And, the Simcha of Chasa V'Kala is a very unique kind of Simcha. So when unhappily, things fall apart, the get is typically just a topic which is very tragic. At the same time, it's a reality. Thank you so much. And, what I would argue is that understanding the details of Gittin, really, even though it's a sad, theme, really, again, reinforces our sense of inspiration about the Torah's perspective on marriage and, in general, the idealistic relationships which the Torah tries to cultivate, through Taryag Mitzvahs. So even though it's a kind of a bittersweet topic, it's a very exciting topic in that it really underscores very pivotal themes, and a lot of those themes are also very inspirational. And kind of that's the purpose behind the introduction, which, as you can see, is about the Isser or the Mitzvah Gerushin. Is it also to be Megarish? Is it a Mitzvah Legarish? What are the circumstances? Before I continue, I should also just say it's really very nice, to be here back in person and to see some of the faces I've seen in between, in different environments, sometimes in their own neighborhoods, and sometimes we did have a couple of shiurim.
We had
three at the end, which was really very nice. But it's really very gratifying to see that the world is, not only edging, but actually, kind of reaching back to normalcy in that respect. It's not quite anywhere near normal in other issues, but it's really very, would be, remiss of me not to comment on the fact that it's really very nice to see everybody, to see them in person, and Birch Hashem, to continue that way. Anyways, so the theme of Gerushin, in my opinion, in addition to being, very fascinating and very important, for the halachos, when and sadly it is needed, also ends up being, especially in the Hakdama, we typically begin trying to understand, when there's an area of halacha, what mitzvahs are there, what isurim there are. But here, there's a particular edge to that question. We talk about, the concept of a mitzvah of Gerushin, it seems a little bit odd. Because again, it's the institution of Gerushin is one which is an unhappy one. So how could there be, a mitzvah? So the very notion of mitzvah is something that that needs to be explored. But I think if we examine you know, the psukim in the beginning of Perek Chavdalet in Devarim, and we follow through with the way that the Mefarshim understood not only them, but these broader topics of the grounds for divorce and, you know, the some of the factors that go into that, that will, you know, provide us with a perspective, you know, which might be a little surprising in how positive, you know, it is about Ishus. The divorce remains very sad, but the, you know, the details, as I say, underscore a much, you know, different picture, one in which there's great, you know, idealism about the relationship of husband and wife, which in consequence raises very high expectations about the kind of interactions that should exist between them, and, you know, that, you know, can, those high standards, you know, can have consequences that are unhappy when those standards are not met. But I think if we, my suggestion is, if we focus on the standards, then we can understand with much greater depth and profundity, you know, what the Torah really has in mind. So having, that's kind of a little introduction. With all of that in mind, let's begin. So the psukim in Parshas Ki Teitzé, which is also this coming week's Parsha, are the psukim that, you know, provide the foundation for all of Dine Geirushin. If you darshan these psukim well, look in the Sifrei, the Gemaras, and so on, you've got, you know, three-quarters of Masechet Gita, the Doraisas, anyway, just right here. So we're not going to try to, you know, darshan all of it in one shir, but we are going to take a stab at a couple of the main ideas after we develop a bit of a framework, just to kind of to highlight, and then, you know, during the year we'll be discussing, start from the first parak, but jump around a little bit, but, you know, we'll be discussing a lot of these details. So the Torah says, first is to run through psukim quickly, but then to highlight what I think is singular, firstly, about the Torah's presentation and what the patterns are. So the Torah says, Ki yikach is parshas ki teitzé, the upcoming parsha, Ki yikach ish isha uva ola. This, of course, you know, is not the parsha of get, one would think. This is the parsha of kiddushin. Again, some years ago we learned Masechet Kiddushin. We know that this pasuk is the source for the kinyanim of Kiddushin. Ha'isha niknes begimel drachim, that's a Mishnah on the base of an Aleph in Kiddushin. There are three methods of Kiddushin, the keseth, bishtar, ubebiya, through keseth, through contract, shtar, and through the physical intimacy of Kiddushin Bia. And all of it comes from these psukim. So ki yikach, of course, is kicha, kicha, you know, mistei afro, that's a source for kiddushei kesef. You know, there's a bit of controversy whether that's drabanan or daraisa. The standard view certainly is that it's daraisa. The Rambam calls it divrei sofrim. Again, these are kiddushin topics, but just to understand a little bit about the background of these psukim, it's very important to understand that the Torah, certainly at minimum, is hinting already at multiple ways to be Mekadesh. Ki yikach ish isha uva ala, the kicha is the kesef, the ba'ala is the kiddushei bia. We'll see in the next pasuk, it says, v'yatza v'beisa v'holcha v'hoysa l'isha acher. That's the source for kiddushei shtar, v'yatza v'hoysa, just like a get, is enacted through a contract. That's what the get is, it's a shtar, so v'yotza v'hoysa, so v'hoysa, makish havaya v'yitzia. So in these psukim, pasuk aleph and beis, you have the three drachim of kiddushin, so it's ki yikach ish isha v'ala, and also v'yotza v'beisa v'holcha v'hoysa v'isha acher. And these are actually the pivotal psukim about kiddushei isha. But then the Torah that transitions very, very sharply, this is, you know, it's right in front of us, but like most things, you know, hiding in plain sight, you know, we don't fully, you know, appreciate it. So if you ask somebody, you know, about Parshas Ki Teitzé, you know, they're a positive person, you know, what's the issues that's, you know, dealt with there? They'll tell you, you know, that's the parsha of Kiddush. But the truth is that what's fascinating about this parsha is the proportionality of it, as we'll explain, and the roles, you know, that Kiddushin and Gerushin play in it. By which I mean, if we're going to read through the rest of the psukim in just a second, but basically, you know, there's very little about Kiddushin and a whole lot more about Gittin. Or to say it, you know, even in a more accurate way, the Kiddushin, you know, source of Kiddushin, these psukim, which are so important and so well known, are basically a context for Gerushin. You know, typically we would think, you know, because most of us are hopefully are very positive people, that, you know, get, and it's true, of course, get is an unhappy, you know, sad, and we hope, you know, if it were up to us, it would be a rarer, you know, occurrence. In other words, the dominating theme is Kiddushin, and occasionally there's a requirement of a get. But in the Parsha, right, you basically have explicitly, of the four psukim, you have half a pasuk, you know, that is explicitly about Kiddushin. Frankly, that half is not an equal half, you know, either. Ki yikach isha uva'ala. As you can see, you know, the pasuk is much larger than that. V'haya im lo timsachein beinav ki batzava ervaz davar v'kasav la sefer krisis v'nasam biyada v'shilcha mi beso. So clearly, you know, it's the asnachta of the pasuk. It's the first half of the pasuk, but the second half of the pasuk dwarfs the first half of the pasuk. Now again, this is quantitative analysis can be a tricky, you know, business. You know, some of you are, I guess, in that field, and I certainly am very wary of, you know, exclusively focusing on the quantitative, but it does have, you know, its role to play. It's definitely suggestive. So in these psukim, you have barely, really a kind of small half a pasuk about Kiddushin as the background information. Really, the parsha is all about Gittin. But is it really even all about Gittin? So we'll see. Ki yikach isha uva'ala, v'haya im lo timsachein be'inav. This is the souring of the ishus. We'll be discussing this. Ki matzava ervas davar, right? The kasav la sefer krisus, right? If the relationship sours, she loses favor in his eyes, right? Because matzava ervas davar, we'll discuss it all. What these things mean. The cost of law, say for Krisus, he writes a shtar, which is a Sefer Krisus, which is a, you know, a text which you know, divides them, splits them from each other. We'll discuss some of the drashos which highlight it. The Nasa Biyada, he hands it to her, also very important. The Shilcha Mibeso, very strong language, doesn't say Vishalcha. It says v'shilcha. V'shilcha is a much more emphatic, you know, term. You know, he doesn't just, you know, let her go. You know, he pushes her out, basically. He sends her away. Mibeso, the word mibeso also may be very significant. So you have this background, and then you have a description of Gerushin. Then you have v'yatza mibeso, right? V'holcha v'haisa l'ishacher. The story isn't ended at the get, right? She then goes on, and that's why it's v'yatza v'haisa, because these words, v'haisa l'ishacher, is another quick reference to Kiddushin. But again, it would be hard-pressed to call that, you know, a fair distribution, you know, between the Kiddushin part and the Gerushin part. It's, again, it's the aftermath of the first divorce. And frankly, as we'll see in a moment, sadly, it's the preview. You know, it's the preamble, you know, of the next divorce. So, you know, this second marriage is sandwiched, you know, in between, you know, two divorces. So v'yotzei v'beisa, v'hol chavahoisa l'ishaker, v'son v'ha'ish, ha'acharon, right, and the word acharon here is very strange, as the Gemara points out, he, you know, develops enmity towards her, because of la sefer krisos, and he writes her again, v'nosam v'yada v'shilcha v'beisa. Or it might happen in a different way, ki yamus ha'isha acharon asher l'kachalo l'isha, let's say the second husband, you know, instead of divorcing her, let's say he just, you know, he dies. The Gemara thinks that that's also, you know, kind of under, you know, suspicious, you know, circumstances. This isn't stama death, probably. Okay. Anyways, then comes the surprising next pasuk, which is, lo yuchal ba'ala harishon asher shilcha l'shuv l'kachta li'as lo l'isha acharei asher hutama ki to'aiva hi lifnei Hashem v'lo tachti es ha'aretz asher Hashem v'lo kecha nosein l'cha nachala. So we have Kiddushin as background, right, with very few words. We have a focus on get, but even more than that, the focus isn't on get seemingly in its own right. The focus is on get, if you just read like the cadence of the psukim, right, if you're a good balkore, so it's, you know, ki yikach ish isha, that's, you know, the background for the get. The get is background, you know, for the next get, which is background really for what this parsha's crescendo is, and that is, lo yuchal ba'la harishon asher shilcha l'shuv l'kachta li'os lo l'isha acharei asher hutama ki to'evahi l'fnei Hashem v'lo tachti yisa'aret asher Hashem v'lo pechon v'sein l'cha nakala. So really, really, if you read the psukim, the whole parsha is background for what we call the iser of machzir gushaso. The idea that under certain conditions, you are not allowed to reunite, you know, with a divorced wife. Now that is a very tricky issue in its own right. I'm not going to get into the details of that at the moment, but the Gemara does have a discussion of that. Maybe I'll give some separate Mar Makomos just to build up on that question. I don't think I have it here. I think I left it out. Okay, so if you look at the Gemara in Yevamos, and Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and Rashi, you know, makes allusion to it, there's a huge problem, you know, in understanding, you know, this, we'll call it the crescendo, you know, pasuk. On the surface, clearly, I mean, in Pshat, certainly, what we're talking about is the Iser of Machzir Gushaso under certain conditions, meaning the first husband cannot remarry, you know, his, you know, the divorced wife, right, under certain, you know, conditions. It's not clear what those conditions are. So the Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis has a debate whether or not we're talking about another Nisuin, right, or even another Eirusin took place. In other words, Reuven was married to Leah, right? Unfortunately, they got a divorce. Leah went out and married Shimon. Did she marry Shimon completely, meaning Eirusin and Nisuin, or she only was miskadeshes or misareses, whatever you want to call it, you know, to Shimon? But they never, you know, reached the stage of, let's say, they got divorced before the Nisuin. Does that make a difference? Okay. So we'll discuss this whole topic maybe separately, although I want to use this to, you know, to gain insight into what I think is the bigger point of this parsha. The point is that the conditions of the Isar of Machzir Gushaso are debated in the Gemara, and if you read the pasuk, it's very unclear. Okay. More than that, as we'll see in a moment, as we'll see, we'll look at it just for a second. The word achar asher hutama, right, that's very loaded, you know, that's very loaded terminology, right? Tuma, you know, is extremely, you know, negative depiction or description of her conduct, you know, since she was engaged in tumma behavior. What did she do? The simple reading of the psilkin is that, you know, Leah was married to Reuben, and then Leah was married to Shimon. And as I just indicated, there's some question whether or not that second marriage, you know, reached the point of nisuin or not. Let's assume, you know, the worst case scenario, and that is that she was married to Shimon, and she also is, nises, not only miskadeshes, but nises l'Shimon. So she was fully married to Shimon. Okay, and she can't now return to Reuben when Shimon either dies or if there's another divorce. She can't return and reconcile with Reuben. Acharei asher hutama. What did she do? Everything she did, as far as we know in the psukim, was within the framework of legal halachic behavior.
So this meaning, is a subjective hutama.
Oh, so that's the question. I mean, it's a strange word. It's a strange terminology to be used, because the word tuma is not, you know, a rare use in the Torah usage, and it's usually used, you know, for some sort of serious offense. I mean, obviously, it's used in a more technical way when we talk about tuma v'tahara, like ritual impurity. And it's sometimes used to indicate, you know, whether something is, you know, kosher or not kosher, like animals, you know, which have nothing to do with ritual impurity usually. But when it's used in context of behavior, it usually indicates some sort of immoral, you know, behavior. So how are we to, and this exactly is what troubles, you know, this is what troubles the Gemara, in Yavam Masid Aleph Amid Beis, and the Mefarshim. So the Gemara says there, I mean, I'll probably give you a separate sheet and we'll explore it more fully independently, but in the bigger, just, you know, the broader idea first, the Gemara says the following. If there was a Nisuin between Shimon and Levi, Shimon the second husband, I mean, they were fully married in every way. So then, says the Gemara, even though it's, they don't have the words even though, but even though, you know, tumma seems like a harsh term, you can still read the pasuk that way. However, says the Gemara, if you paskin, not like the Chachamim, but it's called Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, I think is the Maan d'Amar, in Yevamos, Yud Aleph Amud Beis, who says that, you know, there would be an Iser of Machzor Grushaso, even if Shimon's relationship with Leah was only Erusin, not Nisuin, right? If you hold that way, says the Gemara, then it's hard to read the words Acharei, you know, Asher Hutama, because they didn't even have any kind of physical, you know, relationship. It was just an Erusin, right? So she actually was never involved, according to, at least in the bare bones case of the Psukim, she was never involved with another person. So how is that tuma? So the Gemara says, well, if we paskin, you know, like you know, the Chachamim, and not like Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, in other words, if you don't need that this went to Nisuin, so then you have to read the pasuk as referring to two different isurim at the same time. In the same pasuk, one is Machzor Grushaso, you know, afilu min ha'erusin and kol shekein min ha'nisuin, and the other one is that this pasuk is referring to an iser sota. When it says acharei asher hutama, it means that in the marriage, when Reuven was still married to Leah, like what happens if she was unfaithful to him? She was involved, you know, with another person when she was married to him, so that's called sota. And as we know, you know, if she commits that kind of, you know, betrayal, so they can no longer, you know, live together as husband and wife. She's Asura Labal and she's Asura Liboel. So according to the Gemara in Yevamos, if you paskin like the Chachamim, which we do, so this pasuk, I was going to say this innocent-looking pasuk, but it isn't innocent-looking, you know, no matter how you read it, it's a very very intriguing, very challenging, you know, pasuk. So the way to read this pasuk is sometimes somehow like lo yuchal bala rishon asher shulchal l'shuv l'kachta liyaso liisha. That, you know, is a reference to matzah grushaso. And then the words somehow acharei asher hutama are supposed to have an independent meaning, you know, that this is also a makar for the lav of trying to live with the wife who betrayed him within the marriage. Acharei asher hutama ki toiva hi and lo tachtiyas haaretz, all that goes unsolved. If you look at Rashi, here Rashi says, ki matzah ba'er basdava, I'm sorry, skip that Rashi, we'll get back to that. Pasuk dalet, acharei asher hutama, Rashi says, l'rabos sota shenistera. Okay? Now here there's a bit of a chiddush in Rashi, because he, not the fact that he mentions l'rabos sota, that's consistent with the Gemara and Yavamos that I just mentioned, which I should have put on the sheet. Maybe then and maybe now, both, right? But what I will say is that there's another chiddush in Rashi, and Rashi doesn't just say sota, Rashi says, l'rabos sota shenistera. Meaning, even if we don't know that she actually betrayed him, let's say she was warned, like she was seen with some other, I don't want to go to all of, you know, Masechet Sota right now, but let's say she, you know, her behavior was suspect, and she was warned, right, that's called kinui, and then she ignored the warning and continued to behave in a, I guess, risque fashion, you know, associating herself in a private, you know, context with another man. That's called stira. That's called kinui stira. So that has, you know, this, you know, then a whole process of hashkas ne sota and so on and so forth. So Rashi says even that, you know, is included in this pasuk. Whereas if you look at the Ramban, right, starting from line 25, Ramban says acharei asher hutama lirabo sota hanisteres, quoting Rashi, lishon Rashi. And then he says uperusho isha shezinsa tachas bala. Ramban says the pshat is a woman who betrayed her husband, you know, in the marriage. Avalasota hanisteres, he's disagreeing with Rashi, bilvad, if she was just in violation of this process, meaning she was warned, kinui, and then she, you know, was involved in the stira, lo noda shehi tmeya. We don't actually know that anything, you know, actually took place. We know she's behaving improperly, she's ignoring, you know, you know, this process, but we don't know that she, you know, actually acted out in a way that is a final betrayal. The Eino over a lav, the lav says, the Ramban disagrees with Rashi and says there's no violation of this lav of acharei asher hutama. And then he adds, the kach mefurash b'perek rishon shel Yevamos, this, you know, basic idea that this pasuk, if you read it, man dekar shebe, it doesn't say anything about an unfaithful, you know, within the marriage situation in this pasuk, couldn't say that at all. The only unfaithful within the marriage reference, you know, maybe earlier, you know, matzah ba'er vastavar. You know, and that will go back. That's a big debate, what that means. So the Ramban says, this idea that, you know, that this pasuk is talking about a sota, kach mefurash beperek rishon shel Yevamos, you know, from the base. The Gemara there says, mai v'nistra nivala, Amai Karolei Nistera, Lishna Ma'al Yonaka. Okay. V'shalu Nivala V'hejet Sivba, Tuma, V'nistera V'hi Nitma. There's a pasuk in Bamidbar. It already tells us that if a woman is involved in Znus in the context of a marriage, that that marriage, you know, is, you know, irrevocably destroyed. Says the Gemara, yes, there is an earlier pasuk, but that pasuk isn't a lav, and here there is a lav, and therefore it's lamekim alav bilav. And then the Ramban explains, v'im kein, yomar kasuv, lo yuchal ba'ala harishon asher shil, now he's going to touch up the pasuk, he says the pasuk means the following. Number one, lo yuchal ba'ala harishon asher shilcha lashuv lakachta, v'acharei asher hutama, v'hinei shnei lavin. In other words, there are two things. Number one, machzer grushaso is prohibited, even mina erusin. That's how we pass it, like the chachamim. And number two, even if it's no gerushin, acharei asher hutama, if there's a betrayal within the marriage, right, that too destroys That too prohibits, you know, a relationship. The heim shnei lavin, there are two lavin in this pasuk. It doesn't look like there are two lavin in the pasuk. It looks like there's only one lav. But that's what the Gemara says must be. Yazir b'machzir grushasa mishanise. Strange that he has the word mishanise. I'll get back to that not today. Because really, really, according to this view of the Gemara that the Ramban is quoting in Yevamos, it's actually only makes sense, according to the Ban d'Amar, not only mishanises, but even mishaires. So that he says mishanises is a problem. But the Ramban does something similar. I think there's a pattern. The yazir b'machzir ishto shenitnes biznus. So there are two things. He's being mazir Torah b'machzir grishasa mishanises, and mazir b'machzir ishto shenitnes biznus. Okay, we'll get back to the rest of the Ramban, which is even more important, in just a minute. But at first I'm trying to build my case. Right. So what I'm trying to say is, going back to what we said before. Number one, Kiddushin, is a background here. It's not a focus. There's much more discussion, and the real main event is Gittin. Number two, even Gittin, right, seems to be context for something that is much, much more exotic or rare, and that is Matsu Grushasa. Right? How often does Matsu Grushasa? It happens now and then. By the way, I should be clear just about this. Matsu Grushasa also can be mutter, right? When there is no Erisin, in between. Again, according to Moshe Ben Kippur, if there's no Nisun in between, even if there is an Erisin, we paskin if there's no Erisin in between. Even if there was some other relationship, that wouldn't preclude a machzir grushaso beheter. And certainly if there's no relationship, then machzir grushaso is a category in the halacha. Actually, machzir grushaso, we'll talk about it a little more, but machzir grushaso beheter is an interesting case study in certain issues. For example, the Mishnah says in Moed Katan that has a discussion of whether or not you can marry women. A man can marry a woman b'moed. Where that kind of comes under the rubric of, if not exactly, because they have different psukim, but something like ein ma'arvin, simcha b'simcha, because moed is a time of simcha. Can you? Is it an appropriate time to have simchas nesuin or not? So that's a discussion. Generally, when it comes to nesuin, we say you should not get married, in a moed. However, b'maksu grushaso, meaning maksu grushaso beheter, right? If a former husband and wife are reunite, I don't mean they're renewing their vows. I mean they're actually remarrying. Although conceptually, it's actually an interesting question, where they're kind of partially lapsing back into their initial ishus or not. But the Mishnah says that could take place b'moed, and there are a lot of discussions about things like the bracha of Asher Bara and Shasimcha b'mo'ono, or Sheva brachos in general. There's even a discussion of the Gaonim whether you say Birchas Eirusin, in Machzir Grushaso, meaning there's Machzir Grushaso behater. But the idea is either that it's kind of lapsing back into the marriage, or if it isn't that exactly, certainly the level of simcha is less, in one sense, less intense. Again, it's good for people to rediscover each other and to realize that they made a mistake. And maybe, in an ideal setting, and I'm sure sometimes this happens, and that's, and when it does happen, that's a big bracha. They realize and appreciate each other more, having, made the mistake of or maybe in the context, of the time away, and so on. But all things being equal, certainly the level of, adventure and excitement and the journey, the odyssey of a new marriage, is something that is not, comparable, in Machzu Grushaso. And therefore, there are all sorts of very interesting, discussions, about Dine Simcha, like in Arvin Simcha B'Simcha, but also, again, things like, you know, Birchas Nisuin and Shas Simcha B'Mono and things like that. Even, you know, in the Parsha, actually in the very next Pasuk, that, did I not put that in? In the very next Pasuk, the Torah says, do you have a Chumash somewhere? You should put it on also, maybe.
What is the Chalego for the normal case of Masa
Gusha? Oh, so I'm going to get that in just a second. Well, again, according to the, let me say this. According to the simple reading of the Gemara in Yevamos, and the Afid Aleph on the base, there really is no Toeva and there's no Tuma, the Pashtus, in Masa Gushaso at all. And the fact that there is Masa Gushaso, I'm sorry, the fact that there's those words in the Pasuk is what reinforces the idea that there's two different Isurim, you know, just, you know, borrowing the same, you know, Pasuk and the same Lao, but the Toeva and the Tuma go on the, go on the Sota part. They don't go really on the Masa Gushaso. Sorry to make you do that. But
why is it Masa?
What's that?
Is it a Cho? Why is Masa Gushaso Masa?
We'll get to it. Just one second. It could be also without being Toeva, but it might also be Toeva. We'll get to, that's why I strategically, you know, stopped before reading the next line of the Ramban. I'm holding that back. Okay, so we'll get to it, I promise. So there's a kiyikach that follows in Pasuk Hey. In terms of the actual parsha, like, you know, the way the Masorah is, I did the right thing. The Zanda Pasuk Dalet is the end of a parsha, right? Stumos. But the next words are kiyikach ish isha chadasha. You must have drashos that you say on this, right? Lo yetzei batzava, v'lo yavar lav l'chol davar, naki yeleveso shana achas, v'simach es ishto asher lakach. Right? So I'll get to that in just a second. I think it's a bigger idea even here. But Chazal tell us that, you know, ki yikach isha chadasha, right? It's got, what does that mean? It means besula, or it means it's the first time that he, you know, is marrying this particular. So the consensus normative view is that isha chadasha means shehi chadasha lo, de'afilo almana, as says Rashi. This is the consensus view of Chazal. Prat lemasa grushaso. That is the din of naki yelebeso, that he takes a year off and he doesn't have to go. You know, doesn't have to be conscripted into the army, and he's not obligated to do, you know, other, you know, tzibor-oriented. That doesn't apply to Masa Grushasa. It would apply to an almana, or a grusha that he married for the first time, but it wouldn't apply to Masa Grushasa. Again, there you can of course explain it a little bit of a different way. Again, the more you think that's kind of a lapsing back into the marriage. So he, you know, they had their Shona Rishona, you know, their Nuki Elebeso, you know, already. But on another level, we'll get to that. I'll just mention very quickly. The Sefer Achinuch has just a very beautiful explanation of Nuki Elebeso Shona Achas, and that is that, you know, the Torah is very interested, again, in forging of this bond between husband and wife. You know, and they're becoming, you know, kind of existentially, you know, bonded. And, you know, the more time they spend together, and if there can be a shana naki alabeso, you know, where they become habituated to one another and, you know, a certain, you know, experiences that they share. You know, all of that is kind of an investment in the future of their kesher. So the point is, you know, that makes sense in Isha Chadasha. Does that really make sense in Matzah Grushasa? But others think it's just an issue of Simcha, and we already know that there's, you know, not the same intense level of Simcha in Matzah Grushasa as there is generally. And again, that doesn't mean in individual cases, but obviously structurally, you know, and especially regarding the sense of, you know, discovery and, you know, new experiences and so on and so forth. So the Machzu Gishos of the Heter, you should just be aware, is, of course, it can't apply to a Kohen, because a Kohen has, an Isra to marry a Grusha, even if it's Grushas, you know, Atzmo. But, and there have been some very, very famous cases, rabbinic, Machzir Grushasos, So when we talk about Machzir Grushaso in this Pasuk and the Isur, we're talking about the Isur of Machzir Grushaso, not the Heter of Machzir Grushaso, but the Heter of Machzir Grushaso is also a very interesting theme. There was a question? Yeah.
Yeah, is there a possibility to read Asher Hutama more from the perspective of the Baal? Meaning on a very pshat level, we're talking about that she was made to become Tameh by his behavior, not necessarily her own behavior.
What do you mean his behavior?
Because he sent her out. Right? He sent her out from their original marriage, from a pure Bacchus perspective, and then set her up for now another intimate relationship with another possibility.
Hutama means she was, she was Tuma. It's a very strange, all the Mepharshim, by the way, point out that it's a very rare usage in dicta.
It's Hufal.
Hutama.
It's Hufal.
Yeah. So, but the Hufal is still on her. Well, you want to say he was Metam all her?
Yeah,
he made her Tame?
He made her Tame by his actions of sending her out.
But then you're assuming that she was, right, then you're assuming, put it this way, it certainly wouldn't work according to Beis Shammai, right, who did not say, but who says that, Matzah B'Erbas Davar means literally, and that he's obligated almost to divorce her. But the whole issue of Matzah Gishos is a problem for you, Beis Shammai. That's the Yerushalmi's question, which we'll get to as well, probably not today, but I hear what you're saying. You're not going to say exactly that, but the idea that this is not necessarily her, but it's, let's call it the circumstances themselves constitute a kind of a tumor or a toeva, which I think is also what you were hinting
yes,
at.
Exactly, yeah.
That we'll get to that in the second part of the Ramban, the one that I held back in a second, and others say it also, because the Ramban says it very, very sharply, we'll get to that in just a second. But so where we are now, basically, in our analysis is, we have a Kiddushin as background for Gerushin, and we have Gerushin as background for Machzu Grushaso. We have a Pasuk, which is a very rare circumstance, all things being equal. And Machzu Grushaso itself, we have this Pasuk, which is loaded with terminology that is, very suggestive, seemingly in a hyperbolic, or exaggerated way. Like, where's the Tumba? Where's the Toeva? What does this have to do with the lotachti is aretz, Asher Hashem Elokecha nosein lecha nachala. And again, these are not my questions. I mean, they are my questions, but they're all questions that are raised in one form or another by Chazal or by the Mepharshim. They were really troubled. Again, the whole question of Hutama Toeva is already implicit in the Gemara Yevamos' discussion. Even if you accept, of course we accept the solution of the Gemara, but that doesn't neutralize all of the questions. By which I mean, okay, so let's take the normative view is this is how the Rambam paskins, this is how the Ramban, we just read it, paskins. Actually, in Sefer Mitzvos, I'm going to give you a separate sheet about Machzu Grushaso, but. In Binyan Mitzvos, the Ramban critiqued, the Rambam 613. That's always very exciting. He felt that the Rambam counted things he shouldn't have counted, and he omitted things that, he should have counted, which is a good thing, because, he also wants to come to 613. So if he's going to critique the Rambam for, counting things, then he better critique him also for omitting things, right? Anyway, so he has a list of things that the Rambam should have counted, but left out. And in that list is, the Isur of the Lav of Sota, which he says, is from the same, it borrows the pasuk of Machzir Grushaso, but they're two different, says the Ramban, they're two different lavin. So in, you know, in the Shikha Salavin, and say for a mitzvah, so I think it's Tesvav, but I'll try to say put a sheet out for you on that whole topic. The Ramban says the Rambam should have counted. Now the Rambam himself clearly thinks that the pasuk refers, you know, both to Machzir Grushaso and to Sota. But he doesn't think that that justifies two different lavin in minyan and mitzvahs. What this highlights, and we'll talk more about it, is what I'm trying to say, which is that, you know, even if we accept that we do, the Rambam, the Ramban, the Smag, you know, all the Mefarshim accept the Gemara's conclusion that this pasuk has, you know, two references. But that doesn't completely, as I say, neutralize the questions, because, like, the question is, like, why? Like, Heichan Matzinu, a pasuk, you know, that talks about two totally different things, and why does it? Now, again, in some Rishonim also believe that Ramban makes reference when he talks about, you know, his critique of the Rambam. He says, oh, maybe the Rambam is, you know, exercising his view, which anyway, says the Ramban, I think is, you know, overstated, about lav shebeklalos, right? There are some lavim that, you know, either don't get malchus or they're not counted separately. That's kind of the issue. That's the Rambam's discussion in Shoresh Hay. They're called lav shebeklalos. So lav shebeklalos is a very tricky topic. Everybody is, you know, familiar with sochal al adam. The sochal al adam has many, you know, multiple isurim that are very different from each other. And Chazal say that that's, you know, lav shebeklalos. You know, and therefore it's counted once, but it has different, you know, very different, you know, meanings. But the truth is, in general, whenever the Torah bundles, right, we should wonder why. That doesn't mean we're always going to find the answer. Some things are not as fathomable as others. But it's always a question. Like, why did the Torah put these two things together? Why didn't it give it its own independent lav? So here, this pasuk, which is the crescendo of this little parsha, that it, you know, even if it includes both, you know, the tuma of Sota and the separate Isar of Machzir Grushaso, the very fact, you know, that it's so difficult to read the words and that we have to have the Mesorah, that this is two different lavin in the same pasuk, Ein zeh omer ela darsheini. Like, you just, you know, you're wondering why. You might not find the answer, or you might. Obviously, what you'd want to find is that there's a common denominator, and that, you know, the Torah is, you know, instructing us by bundling these things together. So what might it be instructing us? And again, I think this goes back, possibly, to the whole cadence of the Parsha, you know, this whole idea that it's all coming to this Lo Yuchal Bala Harishon, which is so confusing anyway. So here's where the end of the Ramban comes in. And the Ramban is just trying to explain this single pasuk. He's not trying to explain all the other things that I was discussing before. But this is what he says. This is line 30. Galderach HaPshat, Acharei Asher Hu Tama, right, means Lebal HaRishon. Right, not saying exactly what you're saying, which is that the Baal HaRishon is Mitama. He's saying she is Hu Tama to the Baal HaRishon. Okay. Yirmoz Ki Kasher Yida'a Ishacher, which may be why he emphasized Nisuin before, but La Halacha, Ramban, you know, would admit that this is true even in Erisin. So it also means, you know, hitar sali ishacher, techashev lo tuma. Her formal involvement, even the heter, right, with another man, from his perspective, is tuma, right? So the Ramban adds, ve'elu mitzvos mechudashos, baget ubechazira, right? Very rare for the Ramban to say something. This is like very mechudash. This idea is mechudash in what it reflects about Gittin and the idea of, you know, him, the circumstances in which he can b'maksu grushaso. The tamalav hazeh, kidei shelo yachlifu nishoseyem zeh lo zeh. Yichtov lo ged ba'erev, u'baboker hishava elav. V'zeh tam v'lo sachti esa aretz, ki zeh siba l'chata'im gedolim, u'besifrei v'lo sachti esa aretz, we'll get back to that, v'hazir bez nalkach. So the Ramban is basically saying something very important, a little bit similar to what you were kind of saying. And the Ramban is basically saying that even if there is no illegal, you know, activity or behavior, conduct, technically, right, the implication of maksa grushaso is one which we can associate with tuma, toeva, one which undercuts the concept of kedusha, which stands, you know, at the center of nachalas Eretz Yisrael and constitutes tumas haaretz itself. What he means is that if you're going to play, you know, musical ishus, namely you're going to employ a get, you know, for the purpose of allowing, you know, kind of a freedom of exploration or, you know, between people or heter znus. So, you know, you basically figured out a way, right, to legalize, you know, what the Torah frowns upon. Right? The Torah clearly wants that the relationship of husband and wife, or relationships in general, be, you know, a davar shebekdusha, that they take place within a framework of, you know, protection and mutual dignity, kiddushin and chuppah and so on and so forth. You know, an eksuva, shalei kala be'enav, you know, lehotzia, so that each party feels a sense of security and that the, you know, physical part of the marriage, you know, takes place within a framework, right, which maximizes, you know, that sense of, you know, mutuality and dignity and, you know, respect, you know, and so on. And a get, we'll discuss this more, is an unhappy, you know, event, obviously, either a consequence of the fact that people still have choice, or maybe an investment through choice, I'll explain as we go forward, in, you know, actually Kedusha itself, because the alternative might be worse, or what I like to think, which is that, you know, if certain factors, you know, have caused a deterioration in the relationship between the parties, to the extent that they reflect themselves, you know, in more trivial, you know, friction, you know, between them, then maybe the high standards of the ishus are no longer, you know, attainable, and that also is a breakdown, you know, in the kedusha of the marriage. Again, I'll explore all these issues. I'm just trying to get the general ideas out, you know, for a second. So a get is a necessary mechanism from various points of view, but it certainly, you know, is not to be cynically manipulated, you know, to be the basis of you know, kind of you know, hefker, kind of kadesha, you know, type mentality. Again, it's very interesting to note that the Rambam's presentation of Maksa Grushaso, you know, which again is also slash sota, but especially Maksa Grushaso in the pshat, is mitzvah lo saaseh shin nun vav. And Shin Nun Vav comes after Shin Nun He. That's not a Chiddush, but Shin Nun He is the Rambam's lab of Lo Yeh Kodesh and Lo Siyeh Kadesha, which the Rambam interprets to mean very uniquely that any, you know, physical relationship outside of marriage is in the category of Kodesh and Kadesha. That's the Rambam's view, and that's also his view in the Chosishos. So, and the next one is Maksa Grishasa. They're not side by side in the psukim. They haven't been in the same parsha. They're both in Parshas Ki Teitzeh, but they're not, you know, side by side in the psukim themselves. But I think, like the Ramban, you know, the Rambam earlier was trying to explain that the Isra Basim Shos is not just like a narrow, you know, you're not allowed to do it, and it's Asur. But that really, it's the idea of Kedushas Yisrael and the Kedusha of relationships. When you allow Matzah Grushaso, you know, in this circumstance, you know, you invite the manipulation of Gerushin, right, as a kind of catalyst, you know, for Hefker and for Kadesh, you know, and for Kadesha. And that's really what the Ramban means when he says, Kadesha lo yachlifu nishoseyem ze lo ze. Yichtov get ba'erev u'baboker hishava elav. V'ze tam v'lo tachti esa aret. He says, kisiba l'chatayim gedolin, but it's even more than that. It's this idea of Kedushas Yisrael itself. Yeah.
I think the Ramban's concern for a hanky-panky applies more to Maksa Gushos of a hetero.
Why is that?
Well, she doesn't get married a second time. Why should he be? Maybe there's a hanky-panky going on. Why should to be Mazani, she doesn't have to get married to
a no. But that has an Iser. That has its own Iser. Meaning she violates her own Iser in that.
Oh, I mean this.
Here it would be the Heter Gomor.
So the second husband is the Heter Gomor.
Yeah.
So this
meaning, meaning when there's an actual Gerushin and a woman remarries someone else, that's Heter Gomor.
The Ramban's concerned about him. Trading off his wife so that she could marry somebody but Heter and then come back to him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Musical Ishus.
But why go through that when you come to
Because
a second marriage.
Because those are Dvarim Asurim in their own right.
So, but then that's a heterogamous. So why?
This has the imprimatur. What?
Is this an Avalbish is a Torah situation?
I think with the Ramban, who is so sensitive, right, the Ramban, who is so sensitive to Kedoshim Tiyu and Avalbish is a Torah, is very consistently putting his finger on how people could, you know, manipulate the system in a way where Gittin is serving a function opposite of its intention. In a way, it's a little bit like, you know, the way the Meiri, since it's Chodesh Elul, you know, in the Meiri, in the Chibra Tshuva, says that, you know, Echta V'Yashuv, you know, Ein Maspikin, you know, V'Yado Lasos Tshuva. So the Meiri says very, very powerfully, I mean, it's obvious, but he articulates it, you know, in a way, Tshuva becomes the catalyst for sin, right? Because you say, Echta V'Yashuv. Right, so instead of tshuva being about remorse and all the things that it's supposed to be, right, you've kind of employed the mechanism, you know, as a catalyst, you know, for a chet. I can do chataim because I have tshuva. So here too, like ged is supposed to be, as we'll see, matzav ba'er basdavar. You know, it's ksuva is supposed to, you know, delay you or prevent, you know, frivolous gitin le'yekalavein of lahotzia. You know, but, you know, these clever, you know, cynical, you know, manipulators of the system can figure out, you know, how to do everything kadasu kadin, as you say, to be a naval b'shus ha-Torah, and to use the institution of get so that everybody can, you know, they used to be in the Yankees, you know, years ago. You know, there was two pitchers, like it became a big scandal. Today it wouldn't be a scandal. Right? Am I right? It was, what was it? I'm trying to remember the guy's name. Kekich was a guy. Kekich and Peterson. I think they swapped their wives or something. Right. So it was like a big. Those days, it was a scandal. It's like, you know, you're not a Yankee fan.
No. Having grown up in Queens, I don't even.
I grew up in
Yankees,
Toronto.
So. Yes, I understand that. You know,
and I'm loyal to the Queens team as well. But I read the newspapers. At the time, so they, it was called the wife swapping. That's what the Ramban isn't talking about swap. Ramban is talking about using gittin, basically, to be marbe business. So he says that is a toeva and the heter. you know. And you get to, you go to each wedding and sing and, you know. So.
Why is the Babashusatora? Why here is a legislator and nowhere else?
I'm sorry? Well, first, that's a little bit different. Right. But I think the answer is, if you want to know what I think the answer is, and that is that Ishus in particular, you know, and this issue in particular is a highly sensitive one, and it goes to the core of Kedushas Yisrael, and that's why it's Lo Sachti Yisrael. And even the last line of the Ramban is, I think, is terrific also, which it's basically the Sifrei, but he quotes it, U'b'Sifrei V'lo Sachti Yisrael L'Hazir Bezdin Al-Kach. Like, what's this got to do with Bezdin? Why can't it just be Lahazir, you know, the parties themselves? The Ramban himself happens to be of the opinion, you know, I mentioned the Rambam's take on Lo Yeh Kadesh and Lo Siyeh Kadesha in the Parsha, which is, you know, any relationship outside of marriage, according to the Rambam, is a violation of Kadesha. You know, and that's kind of what he says, as I say, in the Chassidus, in the whole discussion about the comment that he has in Hilchos Na'or B'Sula, whether that fits or doesn't fit, but whatever. That's, the Rambam is very strict, you know, about, you know, physical relationships, intimate relationships, you know, Doraisa, you know, only being in the context, you know, of marriage. The Ramban's take on Lo Yeh Kadesh and Lo Siyeh Kadesh, you know, in his Peirush Al HaTorah is a little bit different, you know, and he basically says that, you know, all the Isurim that other Rishonim think that that Pasuk is referring to, they're already covered by other Psukim, by other Lavin. So he says, La Yeh Kadesh, La Siyeh Kadesh is addressed to Bezdin. Bezdin kind of is the over, you know, seer of Inyanei Ishus. So I think this is very interesting. I think it's all part of, like, Kedas, you know, Moshe v. Yisrael. Again, that was inside a condition today at a wedding. It's always very, you know, special. You know, we all, the Nusach of Kedas Moshe Yisrael, which is part of the, you know, part of the Kiddushin, you know, implies that, you know, that the Chachamim, you know, have a special role in Ishus. And I think there's a lot of, you know, a lot of evidence of that. So I think that might be the answer to your question. You know, there's even indications that, you know, when you have a kind of, the details are not important for now, miktsas geirus, like, you know, somebody underwent the geirus, you know, but not a complete one. There's some, you know, flaw in the formality of Kabbalah, some mitzvos or things like that. Or in the case of, you know, the other way, sadly, like a person has Kedushas Yisrael and he abandons his Kedushas Yisrael, he's, you know, a shmad in case like that. So there seem to be, like, cases where a person has Kedushas Yisrael as an individual. We've talked about this, especially in Chulin a couple of years back. But with regard to Ishus, with regard to Knisa, you know, Lakahal, you know, he doesn't. Like, he's lacking that. He's not allowed to marry, you know, a Bas Yisrael until, you know, he neutralizes that, you know, that flaw. So this idea that, like, the area of Ishus in particular, like, is a dimension of Kedushas Yisrael, I think is really what's going on, you know, with the extra Bezdin, you know, the Ran in the beginning of Ksuvis, you know, again, the first mission in Ksuvis says that lichatchila people should get married on a Wednesday, right? And then, you know, the reason why, says the Gemara, so that if there's some dispute between the husband and the wife, you know, regarding, you know, her status before the marriage, you know, so that should be, you know, handed over, that should be clarified immediately by Bezdin. So all the Rishonim there are halatar, ask the question, you know, even if they're, like he says, Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, you know, he says, you know, her physical status was different than was expected. But there could be explanations for that, says the Rishonim, and that should be like a Svek Sveka. I mean, it could be, it could be this, it could be that, and even if it's this, the details are not important. So that's the question that the Rishonim ask. Like, why the Wednesday? Why the need even to clarify? It's a Svek Sveka. There's probably nothing happened. Even if physically what he said happened, you know, legally, there should be no consequences that are worse than Svek Sveka, and Svek Sveka are always make. So there are different answers given to that question. Why am I telling you this? The Ran on that question says, yeah, but even if there's a Svek Sveka, you know, when there's something that's al bezdin, that's mutal al bezdin, you know, levarer, bezdin has the obligation. They can't just say, oh, it's Svek Sveka. That's their job. So, well, why is it bezdin's job? Well, where did bezdin come into play here? I mean, that's the Mishnah says that, but like, what's the? But the answer, I think, is that kedushas ishus isn't just a matter between a husband and a wife. It's really a matter for Klal Yisrael. As I saw Machronim point out, that you know, that's why everybody gets to be patur from you know, tachanun, you know, in the presence, you know, of a chassan and the minyan. Right? They say this in the name of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, but I think I saw it even earlier. That I think in his Perush al HaTorah that he has this. That's like an Avel. That's who says it? Oh, yeah, in this Parsha. He says this idea. So, yeah, I've heard it in his name, and I think I've seen it elsewhere also, but I think he points out that an Avel, you know, doesn't say Tachnun, and if you're in a Beis HaAvel, you don't say Tachnun. But if the Avel comes to Shul, we had it a lot in. Well, you had in COVID, you know, where people didn't have, you know, well, you don't even have that because you were in the early part of COVID. But people, you know, a little bit later in COVID where they were coming to shul, but they weren't having, you know, shivas at their home. So when the avel comes to shul, he still doesn't say tachanun, but the tzibur doesn't get an exemption, you know, because of it. So why the chasen yes and the tzibur no? And really, I think it's also shot, by the way, in, you know, naki elabeso shanachas. There's a big debate about. I'm going to stop in a minute. There's a big debate about Naki Yelubeso. You know, he doesn't have to go to war. You know, he doesn't even have to help in the, you know, in the war effort. So what about going on a business trip? Can he go on a business trip? So you would think Kol Shekeini, he doesn't have to do any national service, or even assist. And for sure, he can't go on a business trip. So some people say, what if the wife wants him to go on a business trip? You know, the coffers are getting a little bit, you know, low. And, you know, but the Radvaz has a tshuva in which he says, no, he doesn't explain it so much. He just says, no, it's national service. Well, personally, he can do whatever he wants. Like, why? He doesn't explain it so much. But I think it's this answer, meaning the reason that we say Naki Yelubeso Shanachas is because it's Klal Yisrael, you know, benefits from the, you know, from the strengthening of the unit of the marriage. You know, and therefore, it's in Klal Yisrael's best interest, you know, that he not be conscripted and that he not be, you know, imposed upon in terms of, you know, the strength of those homes are crucial. And that he wants to go on a business trip, that's something else. That's, you know, that's a different kind of a question, a different kind of an issue. By the way, a get might need a bezin. That's, we'll discuss that also. But the pashtus, a get needs edim. But if you look at Targum Yonason ben Uziel on these psukim, he talks about bezin. Lufnei Hashem, he talks about bezin. The Arzarua says that you need a bezin. I mean, we do use a bezin. But the simple reading of the, you know, the Mishnah, the Gemara, is the psukim before that is that you don't. But Targum Yonason, I think, is the earliest to say it. The Or Zarua said it. Then it became famous in Nodav Yehuda. Nodav Yehuda used to require a bezdin. The Rashash speaks about it in the beginning of the Beisam and Aleph in Sanhedrin, you know, when the Mishnah has all the list of the Batei Dinim. Anyway, so my time is up. So let me just sum up where we are right now. So I'm going to get back to the psukim and all this. We'll continue with it more next week. So what do I think is really going on in these psukim, in these parshios? I think if you really, the parsha is really not just about matzah kedushasa. Right? The parsha is about kedushas ha'ishas. And, you know, the background of kedushin, and I want to talk about, you know, the range in kedushin, is contrasted with, you know, get. If you understand the details of how a get works, you know, and it's very specific, to just make this or two, and I'll pick up on it next week. In two different psukim, Pasuk Aleph and Pasuk Gimel, there's almost like you should put quotations almost, not on the Sefer Torah, but, you know, in these sheets, if you will. Which is also loaded. The words "v'kasav l'sefer krisus v'nasav biyada v'shilcha v'beso" are a description of the get, the protocol of the get, and that gets repeated verbatim in Pasuk Gimel, right? The son of Isha Achron, v'kasav l'sefer krisus v'nasav biyada v'shilcha v'beso, the exact same words, right? And every one of those words, as I alluded to before, is packed full of drashos to teach you specific. The get needs to be lishma. The get needs to be decisive. Davar kores beino leveino. You can't, like, you know, keep hold over her, you know, after the divorce. The get needs to be v'shilcha, emphatically, right? I think the seder darshan is my drasha. It needs to be beso, because beso zuishto, meaning. The idea, I think, is if you understand Gittin well, then you're going to understand Kiddushin even better. In other words, if Kiddushin was Stamakinyan, it would be very easy to dissolve it. Right? You have a Panu and a Pnuya, and they get married, and what's divorce? They unget married, and they go back to where they were. You can't go back to where you were, because the Kiddushin is a chalos. It's a new creation. It's a powerful bond. That's what it's supposed to be. That's what the Kedusha of the Torah projects. If you understand why get needs to be so rigorous, right, then you understand what Kedusha is. It's not so easy just to undo a Kedusha. You have to be matir the Isha from a Kedusha. And that's what these psukim are telling us. But then the crescendo is, and not only that, but if you understand that that's what get is, and that get is an expression of the Kedusha Sa'ishas, a necessary, sad heter of it, which is also kind of an investment in it, as I'm suggesting, then you also understand that manipulating Ishus or heter, znus, by means of Gittin is like a very abominable, you know, as a toeva, and it's a tumma, and it really, you know, jeopardizes, you know, nachlas eretz yisrael. It's a tumma sa'aretz, and, you know, it's this is a warning, you know, to Bezdin, you know, to be on top of it. So then you could also understand, you know, why this one pasuk is very, like, there are two terrible things inside a marriage. Of course, that's an obvious betrayal. You know, but for the pasuk, which tells you that what seems to be all legal, you know, and acceptable, you know, that machzir gushasa, where no one did anything wrong outside of marriage, you know, that could share a pasuk with, you know, with sota, that speaks volumes, you know, about, you know, kedushas ha'ishas, you know, and what get is and what it's not. Okay. So in light of that, I want to go back and speak a little more about these psukim, definitely speak more about Masu Gushaso, but then I want to turn our attention to whether there's a mitzvah ever to be Megaresh, what the grounds of divorce are. Is there an Isur Legaresh, a mitzvah Legaresh, a Rishus Legaresh, Beisil Beishamai, Rabbi Kiva, some of those things. Okay, sorry we're a little over time.